We're going to hand over to Ethel, and she's going to lead us in some sung worship together. And remember, as part of this this time, probably the conclusion of a couple of songs, let's take opportunity to, you know, we'll wait and give opportunity to hear what the Lord might say through you. And the scripture says in 1 Corinthians, in the context of worship, you know, when you come, when we come together, that one bring a psalm, another hymn, another word of encouragement, you know, it's for the benefit of the body. And I think it's just a wonderful thing to do. Sometimes we forget. We don't want to crowd out what the Holy Spirit might want to do.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to put you on the spot again and see if you remembered from last week some God moments that you might have had this week. I'll start again while you're thinking. I got on the bus again this week. And the amazing change in the bus driver this week. He had a smile on his face.
No longer grumpy.
No longer grumpy. But guess who changed? I did. Because I spoke to him. Alright? Probably wouldn't have had a smile on his face if I hadn't have spoken to him and just had a bit of a conversation with him. And it's like so many times in revival, we're expecting God to do something and he says, no, you do it. You know, I told you to do it, you do it. And it's like if we don't do it, God's probably not going to do a lot of revival unless he does it through us and it comes out through us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really cool thing that, you know, when you look at different situations and you think, you know, I could say something there, but I didn't. I just kept my mouth shut. And it's like God says, I gave you that responsibility. You know, and revival will happen when it comes out through us. And I think it's a cool thing in our hearts. So what's a God moment you've had this week? I know some of you have had some.
Yesterday at the funeral, a young woman came up and said, do you remember me? And I looked at her and I said, yes. You sat in the middle of the classroom, your hair was longer and curlier, and you were learning science. And she said, I didn't think you would remember me. Mm-hmm. And it just tells us about connection with people. And I was thrilled that I remembered her, didn't you?
Could you remember her name?
Yes.
You could.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pam Marshall.
Right.
Whose father, Selwyn, was a colleague of Bruce's and who's now Mrs. House, for the benefit of people who know people from that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think God's working through us all the time, but it's like we miss so many opportunities with them. And, you know, another thing with this bus driver, and I was really quite stunned with it. He said to me, where are you going today? And I said, oh, I've got a few things to do. I was doing a big track round town, and it was just easy to do the bus and, you know, run around town. And I said, I'm going down to Levin Street. Oh, I'm actually going down there to take the bus that way. It was pouring with rain. He said, can I drop you off? You know, and I was just thinking, we'd miss it. We missed so many opportunities. I could have easily said, oh no, look, I can walk.
Of course you can.
But I thought, yeah, I can walk. But it was such a change in him. But it was a change in me first that changed him. And I thought, if we get those opportunities, it's really a cool thing. I want to share with you something that when our kids came out of the Christchurch earthquakes, they were meant to be in the Trocadero Cafe that morning. And the Trocadero Cafe was the cafe that came down, and a few people were killed in there. And the guy on the front page of the paper after the earthquakes was the manager of that cafe. And our kids were meant to be in that cafe that morning and meeting a realtor to put Tracy's house on the market for sale. And at the last minute, they changed the place because Josh wouldn't get to sleep, and he got to sleep at Tracy's house, and she phoned him and said, it's just going to be such a hassle for me to get him up, put him in the car. Do you think you could come out to our place? And so he went out to their place. And even our kids have admitted that that was a God moment. You know, that they possibly might not have been here, but for them it was a God moment. And there's so many things that we have. It's like, you know, telling someone they look really nice in that colour, and it's like, yeah, we think it, but we don't say it. And those are God moments when you bless someone and you see the change in their expression. And just, you know, just wanted to pass on some of those things. And as we think of those God moments, we won't miss them. And our first song this morning that we're going to have an MP4 is God, You're the King of My Heart. Be the mountain where I run, the fountain that I drink from, and You're my song. And it's like, if God's the mountain that we're going to climb all the time, we're pressing forward all the time to see all of those situations with God that He takes us through. And so many times we miss it. And then we sort of kick ourselves afterwards and think, you know, we didn't have to preach at them, we just have to be Jesus to them. So thank you, Joe. Let's stand and sing. We're just going to sing this song, and then I just want to say something before the next song. One day when everything starts to come right. And in his family, he had experienced a few people dying. And then a few of their friends were dying. And it's like his parents were getting older and they passed away. And he made the song, and it's one day. One day everything will come right. But he needed a piece for the middle of the song. He said, there's something that I sense God wants in the middle of the song. And he couldn't figure out what it was. And for 6 whole weeks, they had this music, and they were practicing this song, and there was just this gap in the middle of it. And he turned to his African-American musician, and he said, "What's missing in the song?" And the guy just started playing this beautiful old hymn, "When We All Get to Heaven." And it's right smack bang in the middle of this beautiful song. Let's listen to it this morning and let it bless our hearts. You know, watch it. If you want to stand up and sing, if you know it, you're very welcome to do that. But let it minister to your heart. Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Shout. the victory. We'll sing and shout the victory.
Lord, it doesn't take us to get to heaven to shout your victory and to sing your praises here on earth. And Lord, it doesn't matter what's happened here on earth, what's happened in our week here. It happens more what's going on in our hearts. And Lord, this morning I pray that we will grow closer and closer to you. And you, when you tell us that we should be doing the things that we want you to do, it's like, no, you go do them. You do them for me and then we'll see our world change. And Lord, this morning I want to ask for each one of us that we'd be bold enough to see our world change.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for who you are.
Thank you
for your love for us. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Ethel. I think, you know, there's an ultimate fulfillment that song is speaking about, but heaven is also now. There's a day that is now, and heaven has come to us. And I think that, you know, it's not just all future, it's now and the future. So it's open. Anyone got a word they'd like to share or encouragement to us?
I'll be brave enough to share.
There we go. You can't actually stand it where you are as well. You're welcome to use it. Come up here.
No problem. I'm sorry. I have to face everyone. Morning. Leanne and I have been meeting to pray. We've been invited to speak, and and the Lord said we needed to speak together to share that. And it's amazing how what I've got at home and what she's got and her prayer times, when we come together, they match. And born out of that was one word, get ready. And asking the Lord about that, He gave me one word this morning, and it was shift. And I said, Lord, what do you mean shift? And he said, well, shift is not just a change of gears. Shift is not altering how you look. Shift is coming to a complete stop where you are, where we are as a fellowship, is what he was saying. Then you listen, and I will instruct you of the way being Christ. For he says, my ways are not your ways. You need to find my way, the way. It is a reversal of how you see and you think, I've heard him say. A turning as from night to day. A renewal of your minds, which Doug has taught us, is that repentance, is that changing. A pathway is ready. That word ready for you as a people to travel. As George has been travailing all these years for revival, he says it's ready. I really believe he's saying it's ready, people, it's ready. Prepared with every good thing. But revival is determined by our response, by our stopping and allowing him to instruct. Those whom are mine, he said, are alive in me, and I live in them. Stop and ponder that. He's alive in me, fully God, in all three parts. My love is a trusted place, he says. Can trust that place of love. And I said, why the shift? He said, because all Jesus is now, so are we in this world. Rise up to me, he says, as you fall down. 1 John 4.
Thank you, Fiona. Thank you for that. Yeah.
I had a special moment this morning too. It's not quite, it might sound quite spiritual, but it was reading a Thomas Attington story to a 2-year-old. You know, sometimes words just bounce out pages at you. And the phrase was waiting to be useful. And it just struck me, he was this little kid that, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to undo the messes that he's making into everything, and quite a destructive little fellow that throws things around. And about 10 minutes later, I was chopping up pumpkins for pumpkin soup, putting in a crock pot, and this little kid dragged the stool up beside me, climbed up, and wants to be useful, so he's grabbing the red knife and going to attack the pumpkin. So I managed to channel him into something a little bit more useful, which was putting the little bits I chopped up in the crock pot. But it's really struck me that, you know, we think of little kids as not, you know, they're waiting to be useful, but actually they are useful, they're part of our lives. But it was also, to me, was we're not just waiting to be useful, God wants us to be useful right now.
Yes.
Coming to church, every person that comes here is useful to God.
Yes.
And in all the little moments of our lives, whether it's chopping up pumpkin soup, still God wants to be here with us. And we're doing this.
Yes. All of life is spiritual, by the way.
We were really blessed on Friday night. Our Friday night home group went to the pub for tea, which was really cool. And you think, oh, you're just going out for a meal. You know, you could just think of it like that. But at the end of it, when Doug was talking to Grant and Gail at the end, they said, thank you for coming and blessing us and for giving us some finances. And I thought, you know, we just think of going to the pub for a meal. But as we're driving home, we thought, you know, everybody's got to have income. Doesn't matter what their business is, everybody's got to have income. And it was such a blessing to be there on Friday night and just have some good laughs and meet with Gail, Ann and Grant and have some good laughs with them, and just to see the fun that Celine had as well, which was pretty cool. And, you know, it's just another thing for your heart, is that God wants to change us, you know, to do the thing. He wants to get into us to make the changes. And I think it's just the prompting. You might have a prompting, let's go to the pub for a meal, and you think, oh no, we can do that at home. And it's like, no, you're getting a prompting, go to the pub and have a meal. Bless someone while you're there. And that's just another one of those God things.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Perhaps I should say this. On Friday afternoon, I sat by a dying man. And it was the most moving time. Murray, Europe, you don't know, if you know. And we were talking about things and talking about prayer being an upholding thing. And we both agreed that we were prayed for. You have this amazing feeling of being upheld. Not quite walking off the above the ground, but it's an amazing feeling. I experienced that with Gordon. And so don't give up praying for people, because you never know what your prayer is going to do. You may never know the results of it, but by golly, it can uphold somebody in a time of need.
It does. Thank you, Eleanor. It does. Changes the atmosphere. Once and twice. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being willing to do that. I was just commenting in the prayer time before the service that maybe we should become a bit like the Brethren, the Plymouth Brethren, if you're familiar with, or the Open Brethren as they're known in New Zealand. You know, there's a culture within the Open Brethren that you come prepared to minister and to give. And that's a wonderful culture. It's a biblical culture. And sometimes I wonder that we might come just, you know, with a serviette around our neck saying, what am I going to be fed today? And go away maybe hungry. But I tell you what, if you come with an apron saying, how can I serve today? How can I give? Everybody is blessed by that. So I encourage you.